Today is April 13th, 2007, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, a Mac Observer podcast. I'm Ricky Spiro.
And I'm Jeff Gabbett. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup.
There is no context machine this week because we don't know what the heck is going on. News from everyone, everywhere, everything. But no progress. No changes on any of these stories. No nothing. We're going to make sure you heard the week's news. But then we're going to get into a product roundup we've had waiting in the wings for a little while now. So let's get underway.
Okay. Apple released a statement on Thursday saying that macOS 10.5, or Leopard, is going to be delayed until, get this, October 2007. The company cited resources that had been diverted away from macOS 10 to complete the iPhone as the cause of the delay. Chaos ensued among our readership. Now, the strongest reactions in comments left about the delay focused on Apple's priorities, arguing that Apple had diverted its attention away from the Mac.
Apple announced on Monday, in other news, that it hit a milestone mark with the sale of its 100 millionth iPod media player. The iPod was launched a little over 5 years ago, and at that time, many technology pundits predicted that it would fail. I'm pretty sure, by the way, that our boss, Brian, was one of them. I believe that his comments were essentially, it's too expensive and it's not revolutionary.
You can't get it all. Nielsen video scan data shows that the Blu-ray James Bond movie, Casino Royale, is the best-selling HD title to date by far. Now, the movie launched with 28,233 discs sold, making it the fastest-selling HD disc to date. And the release of Casino Royale also boosted Blu-ray sales 74.4% for the week ending March 18th as compared to the previous week.
Since the beginning of 2007, when the Sony PlayStation 3 started shipping in quantity, Blu-ray movie titles have been outselling HD DVD titles by a ratio of about 7 to 3. However, because HD DVD got an early start, the total sales of movies is much closer. Blu-ray is at about, say, 850,000 versus about 700,000 for HD DVD.
Now, keep in mind, Sony's publishing of the data was clearly meant to suggest that they're winning the format war. But when the fastest-selling title has only sold 30,000 copies, it's clear we're still in the very early stages of consumer adoption.
And less than a million titles sold under each format. Clearly not a mass market item quite yet. And finally, in the week's news, for those keeping score on processor development, Intel introduced its Core 2 Extreme quad-core processor, the QX6800, which is designed for gamers and digital media professionals. The processor is based on a 65-nanometer process and runs at 2.93 gigahertz. It's available now for $1,200.
And over the course of the fall, we did a series on podcasting mics, and we got good feedback. Some of the people asked for guidance in speakers and headphones, so we thought we'd do a product roundup on that. Okay, so we've talked about recently on Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com about the Audio Engine A5 speakers. That's turned out to be a favorite among the TMO staff. Brian, Misha, Dave, they've all done reviews of the products, and they've all really liked how these desktop monitors sound. And they've actually made some improvements recently too, from what I understand. They've changed how the wires actually connect to the speakers, which is a bonus.
Yeah, these things are, for anyone that hasn't read the reviews of them, we've got both reviews. They've been reviewed in print twice at TMO, and Dave reviewed them on his show, and I figured I'd mention them here. The idea here, first of all, let's back up for a second. We've had people write us since we did these mic reviews, you know, what are you using to listen to your podcast? What are you using to do your audio work? What do you use just generally for speakers? the staff love these Audio Engine A5s, and I've actually got a set. They're kind of B stock of these things. So I don't have one for formal review. But these the sound is the same as the ones that other people have. They do. I mean, they sound phenomenal. They're $350, so they are not cheap as speakers go. But for $350, they are ridiculously good. The audio quality is fantastic. They're designed with a little USB jack and an audio jack for iPods. It's got a little power jack for Airport Expresses. You can separate them because they're two different. There's a left and a right speaker. You can separate them to get good stereo separation. The sound is warm. It's clear at the same time, and these things can get loud as all get out. I mean, they're a phenomenal pair of speakers. Great bass. There's no subwoofer in them. It's just two sets of speakers. They have got a little port in the back if you want to hook them up to a sub. These are. If you're looking for a way to monitor audio, if you're doing podcasts and you want to be able to edit your stuff, these speakers are just a slam dunk. If you're looking to actually lay down some real money to buy a good set of speakers, and I can't recommend them highly enough. And I think that the broader staff has all spoken on this and have pretty much said the same thing. So if you're curious about it, you can go check out the detailed reviews. And again, those are in the show notes.
You know, I feel kind of left out because I don't have a pair sitting on my desk.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we have for alternatives?
The biggest issue, if you were going to talk about what is it that the A5s can't do, it's they're not portable, right?
Right.
So a lot of people, particularly with people who are listening to stuff on iPods, but even sitting at the desk, a lot of people have expressed a lot of interest in some portable sound systems, and I figured I'd tell everyone about this little portable boombox that I've had sitting in my office for review for the last few weeks. Harman Kardon, which is a big audio manufacturer, does a lot of stuff, both consumer and pro level stuff. And they have this boombox, and again, check out the link in the show notes, that is a kind of cool-looking, futuristic-looking thing. It's priced at $350. It's portable, which is the big win. It's got a nice handle. It's a pretty rugged construction, so it's pretty easy to do stuff. It's got a good, solid sound. They don't sound like the A5s. They're priced at the same spot, $350. But they... But they're portable, and you can't expect to get the same sound out of a portable box. One of the coolest things about them, actually, they have this little RF remote, radio frequency remote. So standing in the other side of my house, I cranked this thing all the way up, and it more or less got sound throughout the entire house, which is nice. And I was in the other room and playing with the thing. You can skip tracks. I should back up. You can plug your iPod directly into it. So you can skip tracks on your iPod or play and pause and stuff like that from far away. So it was pretty cool to use that thing.
Okay, now for everyone playing at home that can't actually see the speakers right now, I'm assuming that this speaker set is like a single unit. You can't pop the speakers apart to set them farther apart for different sound spread.
Yeah, so this is of the kind of speaker system... this is what they would call an iPod docking speaker system, right? And there are 5 bajillion of them. The Bose SoundDock is one. The Apple iPod Hi-Fi, also in this category. And this is the Harman Kardon Go and Play. Go plus Play. Go and Play. Kind of cute, right?
Okay.
So, yeah, it's one of those kinds of speakers. And there are bajillions of these things. I don't test iPod speaker systems incessantly, so I can't tell you that they are wildly better or worse than the other stuff out there. I think they sound great, and I've listened a little bit to the iPod or the Apple Hi-Fi, and it sounds the Hi-Fi sounds fine. This has a nice having listened to this in greater detail. It has a great solid sound. It's got nice bass. It's not this woofy, gross kind of bass. It's a nice, tight, clear bass. And they use those, if you've seen any of the Altec Lansing or Harman Kardon or JBL speakers, they have these sort of silver discs for speakers. And it uses that technology, which tends to have a very mid-heavy sound, but Harman Kardon does it really well. It's this really clear, crisp sound. So it's very present in the mids. It's one of these speakers where people walk in, they listen to their music, and they say, oh, I can hear so much more in my music. Well, it's because there's a bump in the frequency range right in a particular place. But it's not an unpleasant place, and it's, you know, there's interesting sounding stuff in that place. Voices come out really clearly. They're not the best balanced things in the world. Again, it doesn't have the sound of something like the A5s, but they sound great. They work really well. And actually, this weekend, I'm digging up my front lawn, which is covered in weeds. And so I have some friends over. We're turning over the lawn and reseeding it. We'll have this guy out in front listening to... we have a friend coming over who said, he's Texan. He said, if there's no country music, there's no Texan. So we'll be playing country music.
Okay. Now, my advice, don't give anyone the beer until after the work is done.
I compromised and I figured we'd wait for the beer until after most of the heavy power equipment was done being used.
Okay, that seems like a totally fair compromise. All right, now, Ricky, I consider you to be our resident expert on headphones. And I know that that's quite a weight to put on your shoulders, but there you have it. So I'd like to get your perspective on some of the different headphones. And let's start with Westone UM2.
Well, I guess, I think Westone is one of the headphones are an interesting thing. So again, people were asking about speakers. They were also asking about headphones. And the first thing to point out about this is that we did a buyer's guide of headphones back in December. And I have spent a lot of time looking at headphones, but Dave Hamilton, also the Mac Geek Cap, has spent a tremendous amount of time at this. So I still consider myself his student in this regard. But there's a handful of these manufacturers, and they make an amazing variety of different kinds of products that are good for all kinds of different things. The Westone UM2s that you're asking about,
which is actually the headphones I'm using right now.
Yeah, I was actually going to say. Why don't you talk a little bit about those? Because you've been using those on this podcast for the last probably 6 months, right?
That sounds about right, yeah. All right, well, I actually really like these a lot. I think they have a nice balanced sound. They're very comfortable to wear, which to me is important because they're in-the-ear headphones. So if they're not comfortable, I'm not going to use them, which is why Apple's earbuds are sitting in their little pouch, never taken out, never used. The first pair I had was way too uncomfortable. This set of earphones, very comfortable to wear. The audio quality is nice, or it's actually really good, and I think that it does a reasonably good job of reproducing true sound. So, Ricky, when I'm listening to your voice through these earphones, it sounds very much like what I expect your voice to sound like when we're talking in person.
Yeah, so the UM2s, I mean, that was more or less my reaction. The UM2s sound terrific. They have they're pretty warm as things go, and they're great for music. They have a great sound, for a nice rich sound for music.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
And in a sense, the best thing about the UM2s is that they are some of the most comfortable headphones out there. They have those nice foam inserts, right, that you squish down and put in your ears.
Yeah, they feel really nice.
And they've got the over-the-ear design, which I kind of like because it helps keep everything in place. I found that they were really comfortable. My biggest problem with them was price. It was an issue of value. They were just priced a notch higher than everything else that they compared with. Products from Ultimate Ears and Extreme Mac. And again, I talk about that in detail in the buyer's guide.
And we'll have a link to that in the show notes, right?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, excellent.
But the price for those is probably unreasonably high given the stuff that they compare with. I'd kind of hand out to everyone, since we're talking about specifically listening to podcasts, editing music, working on audio, there are two headphones in particular that I would recommend for that. And they're two different kind of approaches of doing headphones. One is made by a company called Futursonics, and the product is the Atrio M5. And the other one is made by Edemotic, and it's the ER4P. And so you can calibrate. The M5s are $200, and the ER4Ps are $300. They are both superb headphones, and again, kind of do different things. Futursonics, the guys that make the Atrio M5, come from a live music background. They've designed stuff to be stage monitors, and they also make a product that I review in the buyer's guide called the FS1s that Extreme Max sells, and they are an extraordinary. Those cost $150, and they have the most extraordinary bass of any pair of headphones I've ever put in my head, and it's because of the technology in the headphones.
Yeah, those sound nice. I like those for when I'm listening to music that has a stronger beat.
Yeah. Oh, they're
I like
awesome.
The FS1s.
And also for loud, obnoxious rock. I mean, I remember the first time I listened to the FS1s. It was that much of an experience for me. And I listened to some of the early Zeppelin stuff, like Led Zeppelin 4 kind of, 2 and 4 kind of music. And all of that, all of the amp choices and the growl and all of that music just comes rushing out with those headphones. It's an amazing pair of headphones.
Then listen to Dark Side of the Moon with those headphones.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, another fantastic album to listen to. Now, the Atrio M5s are based on the same technology. And again, they're made by Futursonics, and they designed the FS1s. $50 more. What you get with that extra $50 is the same kind of growl and bass, but they've paid a little more attention. They've paid a lot more attention to how even the sound is. So the FS1s, when you compare them to something like these Edemotics that I'm about to talk about, or these Atrio M5s, the higher end ones, the more expensive ones, sound a lot more clear. And the FS1s sound in the mids, they have this kind of mush in them. And it's not bad. It's certainly not bad for $150. They sound amazing for the price. But if you're trying to do audio editing, it's really useful to have that more balanced sound. And so the Atrio M5 are not the most honest pair of headphones out there in terms of crystal clear reproduction. That's the Edemotics, in my opinion. But they have, the thing that they do is they're this great compromise between that really growling bass and a nice, clear, honest pair of headphones. And so if you're looking for a solid pair of headphones and you want to use them for podcasting live, you want to use them for listening to music, you want to use it for doing audio editing, you want to use it for the whole battery of things, the Atrio M5s, I think, are the high-end, it's like the Leatherman knife of headphones. I mean, it's just, they do everything really well, and they're $200. They make universal fit headphones up to $500. These are fantastic for the price. They're actually what I'm using for this show right now.
Okay, now I want to jump back to the FS1 real quick. One issue that I have had with the headphones, which isn't a major problem, keep in mind I'm living in Denver, where it's a semi-arid environment, so it's akin to living in a desert, although you wouldn't realize it as you drive around town. The foam inserts that go into your ears dried out and they lost their resilience. And then the earphones don't stay in your ear very well. Now, when I mentioned this to Extreme Mac at Macworld this last year, they went, okay, here's new foam for you. So, you know, so no questions asked, okay, no problem, here's new inserts. So I'm assuming that if they last a year, all I have to do is at Macworld each year say, okay, can I have new inserts? And they'll say, here you go. Thanks for using the earphones.
Yeah. Now, hopefully this is, you know, it's they, like I said, it's a great product. That is going to be a reality with anything that uses foam. And these Atrios use the same kind of foam stuff. You can also put on little silicone tips, which do not, I find they don't stay in quite as well or isolate quite as well, but they do give you a choice of tips. I don't think they're as comfortable as the UM2s, but, you know, they work. They get the job done.
And they do sound nice.
Yeah, and like I said, the Atrios, incredible flexibility and versatility. There's one other product I want to talk about, these Edemotic ER4Ps. $100 more than the Atrios. These are a much more targeted product, and the only reason I mention them is because I find them incredibly useful for the stuff I do when I'm editing audio. So this is more for the people who are editing podcasts or want to get into editing music, mixing music. The Edemotic ER4Ps, this is how I think of them. If you want, for $300, to take a crack at getting essentially a $5,000 combination of, you know, room treated with pads and really good speakers and everything placed just right, the best way you can get to that, as far as I can tell, without going through a huge amount of work, is to get headphones. And the best ones to get for this sort of thing are these Edemotics, because they have an incredibly clear and honest sound. Their big thing, what they say in all their press material is, we're the only ones that publish our, what they call SP or SPL curve, sound pressure level. They're the things that, it's like the signature of the headphone. And you can compare speakers and you can compare headphones by looking at these curves. And they go to great pains to make sure that that curve looks exactly the same as studio monitor curves. And wow, you can tell when you listen to them, they sound, it's like being in the room minus a little bit of the bass, because of course you can't get that, you know, punch in the chest that you get when you have a subwoofer in the room. So those are, if you're looking into doing audio editing specifically, they're a great thing to look into. And I recommend them very highly, but they are pretty specific.
Okay.
Let's see. I think there was something else I was going to mention about those. Oh, so some things to keep in mind. The ER4P, the other thing about the Edemotics is that they have terrific sound isolation. They're these silicone tips. They also actually have foam tips as well, but silicone ones work really well. But be aware, if the idea of putting stuff in your ears freaks you out, the ER4Ps are not for you. You've got to put them pretty deep into your ears. I've never felt unsafe doing it, but I've seen other people try to put them in and say, no, this sucks. I don't want to have these things in my head. It's freaking me out. So,
okay, good to know. Yeah.
Oh, and I suppose it's also fair to mention, since we're talking about all these different products, you were talking about how you use the UM2s. If you get really into headphones, Dave Hamilton is in the process of putting together a piece on custom fitted headphones. I've not used most of the ones out there, but most of the time, every other week except for this one, I figured I'd use the Atrios to do this show. But every other week I use these Ultimate Ears. They're called UE7 Pros. Fantastic set of headphones. They're custom made. And so if that's something you're interested in, they're incredibly comfortable. Custom fitted headphones, if that's your deal, they're awesome.
Now, by custom fitted headphones, I'm assuming you mean that you actually have to do the mold of your ear, and then they build the inserts to fit your ear specifically.
Yeah. Now, it's certainly an odd process. It's something that, if you've never thought about doing it or never had it done before, it will sound, and it is pretty weird. But they sound wonderful. I mean, the product, of course, sounds fantastic, and the fit and the feel of them is light years beyond what you get from the Universal Fit headphones across the board. So Something to consider.
If you freak out about having stuff deep in your ear, probably not a good choice, especially when you're going through the molding process.
Yes and no. I can understand for the molding process, but there you've got an audiologist who's in the room with you, who's able to look in your ear and, you know, make sure that they're not going to do anything bad. And when you actually get the headphones, it's because they're custom fitted, they can only go in and come out one way. And so it actually, it feels a little weird, but I think because they're fitted so precisely, it's actually more, you feel more safe doing it, because there's no, like, they can't go in any farther. You really know when they're there because they just go thunk and they're in place.
And since you use an audiologist to take the molds, it wouldn't be like me laying my head on its side on a table and saying, "Hey, Ricky, pour some goo in here. Let's make a mold."
Right. It's think of it like getting your ears pierced in, you know, by your friend on a road trip versus in the doctor's office. For those of us like you and me, Jeff, who have gotten our ears pierced many times before.
Yeah, it's a wonder we can get through metal detectors at the airport.
Right, exactly.
Okay, anything else you want to share on headphones?
I don't know, but if you guys have got questions, please do send them in, roundup@macobserver.com. We'll probably leave it at this for the show in terms of what we talk on the show, but if you've got questions about this stuff, I've had many headphones come across my desk in the last 8 months or so. So if you guys have questions, if you're thinking about buying different things for different applications, please do write us roundup@macobserver.com. Love to hear from you. And let us know if there are other product roundups you'd like us to do, other types of products that you'd like us to cover.
Okay, well, there you have it. And that's the news. Thanks for listening to Apple Weekly Report.
Our content this week was written by the fine staff of the Mac Observer, but of course we didn't use any of it to do a context machine because it was weird news.
Indeed.
What a week. Leopard was delayed. That was, did not see that coming. Well, you kind of saw it coming, huh?
A little bit, but it was still like a fish slapping you in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's uncharacteristic.
Yes.
A fish slapping you in the face. That's a good image. I like that.
Yeah, I'm sure you won't be able to get it out of your head for a really long time.
Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The base is by Boom for TMO. That's all I've got.
And always stay subscribed.
Till next week, everyone. We'll see you online.